Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
With Tipperary Kitchens, Killeen and Thurles. Number one for kitchen design and fitting in the Premier County. TipperaryKitchens.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening, and our text line is open to you now on 083 311 3311. You can also get us on the Tip FM Facebook page if you'd prefer to tweet the programme. Our Twitter handle is at Tip FM Sport, and that text number again is 083 311 3311. Lots to come on tonight's show. We've a lot of GAA to talk about. Ballybacon are into a Munster final. We'll talk to them, and they're playing Ardmore of Waterford and that in a couple of weeks' time. And the under 21 competition continues apace in hurling. We'll be speaking to Lena Ryan, chairperson of Tipperary Ladies Football Board. We'll be talking about rugby. We'll have soccer with Jamie, all in due course as well. But let's start with Camogie, because Burgess Duara of Tip have retained their Munster senior Camogie title 2-10 to Ina Kilnamona's 1-10. That game played over the weekend. My congratulations to them, and it was a very happy joint captains Kieran McGough and Elaine King, who caught up with Tip FM Stephen Gleeson at the full time whistle.
Oh yeah, like it's super. As you can see there, we've great supporters that are here to follow us today, and they're there every day in the good days and the bad days. So it's great to put another win, another Munster final, to have them to experience that. So it's great, yeah.
Elaine, that game, you're just under such pressure in the second half there, but your backs just held out so strong until the last attack where you got a score.
Yeah, look, I suppose it didn't feel like we were holding out there. It felt like we were kind of losing our shape and letting the game run away from us a bit. But luckily enough, we were able to hold our cool to the end. And, you know, God only knows if there's another 3 or 4 minutes at the end of the match. I don't know what way the result would have gone. Ina Kilnamona put up a great display in the second half. And I suppose we always expected it. But again, it hit us by surprise as well. So we're just happy to get out of today with a win.
Kira, that attack in the middle of the field, rucks left, right and centre, but you came out with enough ball there, and you really had to need it and want it enough.
Yeah, it all came down to hunger today, really, because the conditions didn't lend itself well to skillful, fast hurling. It all came down to whoever wanted it more. And in the second half, it didn't look like we wanted it more, but we put the pressure on when they were putting it on, and we managed to come out with it at the very end. So we're very grateful and we're very lucky. But after the first half performance was top class, like our forwards were fantastic and they just picked off tremendous scores. We obviously went to sleep in the second half, and that's just something we are going to have to address for the next round then.
Brilliant early ball. That early goal really set you up nicely, gave you a cushion going in at the break as well. Second goal was true hard work, I suppose, but just that early goal gave you a nice cushion.
Yeah, it did, and it settles us all, because we're in the flow of our play and the way we like to play, and it just settles us down, and we tend to sometimes lose the run of ourselves like we did in the second half a small bit. We forgot our shape, we forgot what we're about, and in the first half we played the Duhara game, and in the second half we just let it slip away a small bit. So it's just something we will have to address for future games, just to remain as a unit and remain as a team and play the way we want to play.
Elaine, All-Ireland semi-final now, you're back where you were last year, and you want to go one better and get to the final and win it.
Yeah, I suppose, like, when you start out at the start of the year, you always want to get as far as you have the year before and do even better. But kind of our attitude for the whole year was just to take each game as it came and focus on the game that was ahead. So we haven't been thinking past today, but look, it's fantastic. You know, no one would say we're not back exactly where we want to be, and I suppose a lot of us would feel we left a lot behind us that day against Lochneil. So hopefully we can go on and get further and get to a final this year. But look, we won't look past the next day and focus on that day. Yeah,
what's the plan tonight now?
Can't be giving that away now.
Bed early in preparation, yeah. For the semi.
We wouldn't be ones for party and like that. We're all pioneers inside, actually, so we'd be very tame.
Brilliant, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks,
Eileen. That's Kieran McGough and Elaine King speaking to Stephen Gleeson after the game yesterday. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Pat Cremins, manager of Burgess Duara. How are you, Pat?
Not too bad, Ronan. How are you?
I'm very well. I'd say your heart was in your mouth throughout some of that second half, because you had a comfortable lead at half time, but in fairness to Kilnamona, they did come back at you.
Very much so, yeah. I think we played very well in the first half, and we had a 10-point lead, but I suppose, like the girls were saying there, we lost a little bit of shape, Ina Kilnamona played very well in the second half and really came at us. And I suppose in the end, we were just glad to hear the final whistle.
I suppose any manager would always like to win a match, but have something to work on in advance of an All-Ireland semi-final. And that second half lack of shape or disjointed nature of your second half performance is something that I'm sure will occupy your mind in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've plenty to work on now after yesterday. And maybe, I suppose, in previous matches through the campaign this year, we've had easier wins and maybe didn't get searching tests on certain days. And you know yourself, if you get tested and tested properly, then you learn more from that, I think, than you do from easier victories.
Yeah, I mean, a good start is always too small, Latin Haber, and Jenny Grace's goal after 3 minutes settled nerves to a certain extent, but these girls are experienced. This is their, you know, they were going for a second title in a row.
Yeah, very experienced. And
but girls get nervous, but all players get nervous, you know. Yeah. A Munster final is a Munster final.
I suppose you still need to that early score to settle you down, even with all the experience of playing in major matches. But it did settle us down, and it enabled us to open up and play very expressively in the first half and I suppose play to our strengths. And we knew they'd be more in Aina because they finished their semi-final against the Cork champions. They finished the match very, very strong. So we absolutely knew they'd come back at us in the second half.
Amy Kennedy ended up as player of the match, and herself and her sister Tara were keeping the scoreboard ticking for you.
Yes, like our forwards have been top class all year, and like they get some fantastic scores. Amy has had a great season, but it's not just maybe one or two. I think we've great scoring power across our six forwards and indeed our midfielders. So it's a joy to watch them when they're in full flow. And like I say, Amy has been excellent all year and fully deserved that award. Mm.
Attention immediately focuses now. I mean, you'll reflect on your Munster title and you'll enjoy it, and more credit to you. But then it comes to the semi-final and perhaps unfinished business, because this team is good enough to go all the way.
Yeah, we really need to buckle down now and work hard, because it's a fantastic opportunity to I suppose get back and try and build on what happened last year and try and come out the right side of the result in an All-Ireland semi-final. But I think, like Elaine said in the interview earlier on there, we haven't looked past the next match all year. So I suppose it'll be just full focus now on I think it's the 28th of January is our next match. So it'll be full focus on that date and prepare properly.
Well, last year you came up against Slochneil, who, in fairness to that club, were riding quite the crest of a wave with their Ulster senior football, senior hurling, and senior camogie titles. You won't have Ulster opposition, presumably, this time around.
No, it's the Galway champion, Sarsfield, I believe we'll be playing. So, but Slochneil are still in it.
I'd imagine they are. Yeah,
they're in the other semi-final. So,
well, it's many congratulations to you. It's a great story, and any time a Munster title comes back to Tipperary, it's something that should be celebrated. I hope the girls enjoyed themselves over the weekend and refocused their minds now for the end of February, end of January, is it?
Yeah, the end of January, 28th of January, Ronan,
Yeah, well, many congratulations to you, Pat, and to the girls, yeah.
Can I just say as well, thanks to Tip FM for the coverage they gave the Camogie on Saturday. It was fantastic, and it really meant a lot to Hara, and it meant a lot to Tipperary Camogie that Tip FM gave it the support that they did on Saturday. So we're very appreciative of that.
Well, keep winning, Pat, and we'll be hanging around like a bad smell if you're not careful.
Absolutely. Thanks,
take good care, man. Pat. Thanks,
bye,
indeed.
Bye.
Good luck. That's Pat Cremins, manager of Burgess Duara, after their 2-10 to 1-10 win over Aina Kilnamona of Clare. Mighty win for the girls. That's two in a row, and they go up against Sarsfields in the All-Ireland semi-final in senior camogie. We wish them very well. One texter on 0833113311 says, Ronan, I can't believe that the South under 21 South hurling final under 21 is fixed for Gotenbridge. That match is obviously between St Mary's and Carrick Swan. And geographically speaking, I would have thought Kilsheelan would be the ideal location. That's a good pitch, but I understand as well that they're looking to do some work there, and that pitch may well be closed for the winter. And I suppose at this time of the year, Texter, it is very much dependent on what pitches are available. Depends on weather. But that's next Saturday. South under 21, a hurling final is between St Mary's and Carrick Swan. Fixed for Golden Bridge, is, insofar as I understand at the moment, but that, of course, is subject to change. Our text number is 083 311 3311. Lots more to talk about here on Extra Time, but let's have a quick listen to Cathal Barrett, because he was speaking after Holy Cross had a very impressive win in the mid under 21 final. Mighty win for them. Cathal Barrett was speaking to Stephen Gleeson after the full time whistle.
Look, we got very lucky. We got two good early goals. We were 4 or 5 points down at the start, first 10 minutes, and Czechs game came up with two goals, just came up trumps, and that really made the difference, I think, the goals.
Those goals, Drum had that wind in the first half, and those goals really kind of gave you, brought you into the game, because Drum looked bright early on, hit the first four, and then that goal set you up. And then he hit another one in the second half, and Stephen Flanagan, I mean, that full forward line is powerful.
Drum were all over us for the first 10 minutes, like, and the wind, look, you're always going to be under pressure with the wind, so you're really needed something. We really needed something to flatten their confidence. So lucky enough, we got a goal. They came back. We got another goal. Hit them another bang. So that only for those two goals, I think we would have been in a bit of trouble, because Drum were starting to put a bit of daylight between us. But look, at the end of the day, like, our lads worked tremendously hard, unbelievable. From up the corner forward, working the whole way back down to the full back line. Like, they just worked so hard all over the field. And look, it's a credit to them. They deserve. The scoreline reflects their work rate, really.
You've got all those players, Skahan, Nally up front as well, and then Stephen Flanagan, some great points in the second half, and a great goal.
Oh, absolutely. Stephen's only the height up to me knee, like, and just see what he can do. Like, he just works so hard, and when he gets on the ball, he can be deadly. Like, look, there's some savage hurlers out there. Just thank God we got the win anyway.
This win is big for Holy Cross, because you've been down for a while, but a lot of these guys are going to come up and play senior hurling next year now as well.
Oh, definitely. Look, it's 21 years since Holy Cross last won a mid under 21, and look, like, we're an up and coming team, but we want to be winning. Like, there's no point saying you're coming for the next couple of years if you're not producing something. And look, we finally produced a bit of silver today with the youngness.
And you have a serious backroom team yourself there with experience with Tip. You've Declan Carr there as well, and you know, there's a lot of names there that are putting in a lot of time with Holy Cross Ballycahill now.
Oh, there is. Look, Declan's tremendous to have, and look, myself, look, it's great. The players can kind of feed off us for experience, and sure, look at Declan. Declan's a savage trainer, and Dolan Duggan is a manager. The amount of work he puts in behind the scenes and organising, and the way he brings on the young lads is savage. Like, so look, we're very lucky in Holy Cross at the moment. We've great people behind the club and great people driving the club as well.
You're looking out to go on and win a county title.
Well, look, we have to get through the county semi. I'm not sure. I think we're playing the south. I'm not fully sure when's it on, so we'll take one step at a time. We won't go too far ahead of ourselves yet, anyway.
What are your thoughts on the new structure, possible structures for the county championship? Do you think that the mid link should be kept with the county series and the divisional link? Is it important to you?
Absolutely. Jeez, look, we in Holy Cross, and I think most teams in the mid, we love hurling, mid hurling. Like, mid championship, I don't know about any other divisions, but mid championship is a fantastic championship. Like, you're playing against the likes of Sarsfields, Drum, Lochmore, and we, look, everyone wants to win it. Like it's a savage championship. Like, it'd be an awful shame to see it go, like, and hopefully it won't go, because, like, everyone wants to play mid hurling.
Yeah, these new structures are going to be massive next year, because it's going to be hard on the club player and the county player.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. Look, it'll be very hard on the county player, I suppose, as well. They're going to be playing a lot of matches, and look, at least, I suppose, the good thing about it, I suppose, is club players now know when they're going to be hurling and if they need to go off for be able to book their holidays and stuff like that. So look, it's about time, really. The club players got a bit of leeway and finally got some bit of structure in place. Like,
yeah, so for the time being, it's win this county semi final and bring some more silverware back. Look to bring more back to Holy Cross.
Yeah, that's it. Win the county semi-final and hopefully go on from there and just bring Holy Cross back up through the ranks again, because look, we've been down a long time, so it's about time we got back up there with the best of them.
That's Cathal Barrett, a selector with the under 21 Holy Cross Ballycahill mid champions in under 21 hurling. They're going to take some beating, I can tell you, because they were very impressive this weekend in that victory in the under 21 championship. They faced the winners of the South Championship, which I've already told you. That final is on this coming Saturday between St Mary's and Carrick Swan. Our text number is 083 311 3311. Well, one team that's into another Munster final, well, not another, another Munster final for Tipperary side, is Ballybacon Grange, and I'm delighted to be joined by Willie Barrett from the parish. How are you, Willie?
Good, Ronan, thanks.
Ballybacon were only just getting over winning their first adult title, and next thing you find yourself in a Munster final.
Absolutely, and it was a wonderful result. You know, the lads played absolutely brilliant last Sunday week to win the county title. But then come along and they qualified for the Munster final yesterday after an amazing display against St. Catherine's of Cork. And you know, to be fair about it, the lads were full value for their money, because for their win, because their work rate throughout the game was fantastic. You know, they didn't get off to the best of starts. They conceded 4 points in the first 10 minutes. There were 4 points, no score, and then with a point from Brendan Cummins on a free that settled the nerves. So the teams went in at halftime 6 points each, and I think Ballybacon would have been happy with the halftime result in view of the start they made. You know, but obviously, you know, it was halftime. So the second half, St. Captains came out and took a 3 point lead. Within 5 minutes, they were 9 points to six ahead, and looking very, very strong. But then I suppose a moment of inspiration arrived where Danny O'Regan, who had an outstanding season, picked up a puck out and drove it to the corner of the net. An absolutely brilliant goal. And that seemed to put Ballybacon on top. That levelled the game up. And strange enough, it was 1-6 to 9 points at that stage. And you know, St. Catharines didn't score for the rest of the game, whereas Ballybacon added on 5 points and won the game, 11 to 9 points. And in fact, I felt, looking at the game, that they were, you know, on top and fairly played very, very well. Their work rate was unbelievably good. In fact, I'd go as far as to say it was the finest Ballybacon performance I'd seen over the year, including the county final. They were absolutely magnificent. They certainly came out with a very confident after their county final victory, and they were driving on, and there was no way they were going to let it slip, I said, in the last 5 minutes.
Well, what's particularly pleasing from your point of view is that the hunger hasn't been sated by that win over Tumi Vara.
Absolutely not. The hunger was unbelievable to watch. You know, everyone that played, just all the 15 and the three or four subs that went on, you know, gave it absolutely everything. And you know, you think you'd expect some bit of a downer, that they might be able to repeat that performance, but actually they even surpassed it, in my opinion, in the second half. Deservedly reached the Munster final.
Yeah. No. What's an interesting statistic was at one stage it was 9 points to six. So you essentially, you kept Catherine scoreless for the rest of that match and then outscored them 1-5 to
no
score.
1-5 to no score, you know.
Like, that's mighty.
That's absolutely, and after that came down to the work rate of both the forwards and the backs. Forwards just didn't give in too easy. And when the ball landed around the square, and it did happen on several occasions, particularly in the last 5 or 6 minutes, you know, the goal just didn't come. Brendan made one very good save and from a free, and it just didn't come. And I felt they might have gone for the goal too easily, St. Captains. They weren't happy to tap over a point to maybe bring it down to 4 points. Because for a long time, it was a 3 point game, and then it went to a 4 point game. And they had two chances to make it a 3 point game until Aaron Lunningham's last point in the last minute of the game to make it a 5 point game. Yeah. So they had their chances, but they seemed hell bent on getting the goal. But you know, the lads thrived on the kind of game it was, where they gave everything, and you know, they fully deserved their place in the final on the 3rd of December in Mallow, I presume.
Yeah, 3rd of December in Mallow is my understanding as well, where you'll be facing an Ardmore team.
Ardmore, yeah.
Who are high scoring. I'm just looking at Ardmore's performance in the last two matches they've played, and I think, they scored 520-something yesterday?
522 they scored against Bodar Clare yesterday.
Yeah.
Huge score, you know.
They've got their backbone by Prendergast's, you know, James Flavin.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, up front, they have Seamus Finnegan, who will be well known to all Holland fans, you know, full forward, who gave so much forward for so many years. You know, he'd be their big target man up front.
And a word of caution to my friends in Ballybacon, all but three of Ardmore's 522 came from play.
Absolutely, yeah. And the 3 points were scored from Fraser and stand by Seamus Finnegan, who finished the tally, I think, of about 2-6. But having said all that, it'll be a different game in the final. The mark will be tighter. Ballybacon will again gain in confidence. They've had two wins in the Munster club. One, a very easy victory, was that miss against the Kerry team. But then after yesterday, we've had the win in the county final after that. And then Ballybacon have had the win against St. Catharines of Cork, who were, to be fair to them, playing their third game in 8 days.
Mm.
But Ballybacon were playing their second game in 7 or 8 days. You know, so, I mean, you know, they were coming on the back of a difficult county final as well.
That's true. And there was a bit of hanging around for that game to be played against Tumi Vara, with the Seamus O'Regan and all the rest that held it up a bit.
That's right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, Ballybacon, I think, are in a good place. I think you can see the growing confidence in the team. You can see the hauling ability of players improving all the time, and the conference is really coming on strongly. And I think they'll give it all in the final, and you know, it should be a final to be looked forward to.
Absolutely. I mean, if I'd spoken to you, you know, last January, I think you'd have said to me, get up intermediate would be absolutely the objective of Ballybacon's season.
And it was, of course.
Yeah, and it was, and you've achieved that. But you're in, this is bonus territory.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
you're not finished. You're not done yet.
No, you're in a Munster final. When you get to a Munster final, you know, as you said earlier on in your introduction, that they won the first, Ballybeck won the first adult final ever in the history of the club. You know, a lot of people didn't know that. That was
like, this is Babs Keating's club, you know?
Yeah, Babs Keating's club, you know, we had won intermediates and juniors and all that sort of thing, and played senior for a while. We'd actually never would. We won a lot of South titles down the years, of course, which are well documented, but we'd never actually won a county title at adult level. So, you know, this group of players have won a lot for the club this year.
Mm.
And I think, you know, going forward, the win against Tipperary, the win the county final, quarter-final, semi-final, final, has brought them on in leaps and bounds. And one must remember that they actually lost, the Reds lost the South final to Skeena Rinke. You know,
that's right.
So, I mean, since then, they've really put their shoulder to the wheel and proved that they are very good champions, and deserving champions.
You know as well as anyone, and everyone in the parish knows, that, you know, when you start falling from senior to intermediate down to junior, it's a blooming hard climb to get back, and you're halfway up the mountain.
Yeah, you're halfway there. But I think, in fairness, we would say that Ballybeck now where they should be, where they deserve to be, at intermediate level now, you know.
Mm.
I think this is really the level of the present team. And I think the team and the panel are building all the time to get back up. They've looked at where they were, and, you know, that's gone, done and dusted senior, and they can't, fell back into junior. They've looked at that, they analysed the situation, decided, look, we'll take it step by step, get back up to intermediate if we can. They failed the first attempt against Kildangan last year, while it was a great final, by just a minimum point or two.
Yeah.
And you know, it showed character, I think, to come back second year and go all the way and win the county. I think that showed real character with that particular team. You know?
Well, many congratulations, Willie. It's a great story. We're looking forward to that final in Mallow in early December against Ardmore. And we wish you the very best of luck, and thanks for taking the call tonight.
Thanks, Ronan. Bye-bye.
Thanks indeed. That's Willie Barrett. Ballybeck and Grange 1-11, St Catherine's of Cork 9 points, and they'll face St Declan's of Ardmore in that final on the first Sunday in December in Mallow. Our text number is 083-311-3311. We had a text in relation to the South Under 21 hurling final being fixed for Gotenbridge, and the South Board have been on to tell us that there are lots of fields closed for the winter and are not available to the Board, so the Board can only go where pitches are available. And I kind of alluded to that, I think, in relation to Kilsheelan, because I know that they've got a lot of work on, and they're planning to do an awful lot of work in the pitch in Kilsheelan over the coming months, and we look forward to seeing the finished product in Kilsheelan. But that match is fixed for Gotenbridge in this coming Saturday afternoon. Swan against Mary's. We've had break to take, long overdue, back in a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Come.
You're very welcome back. Our text number is 083-311-3311. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by William Coleman, who's the Tipperary coordinator of the Club Players Association. Good evening to you, William.
Hi, Ron. How you doing?
I'm very well. I don't know if you were listening. We had an audio piece with Cathal Barrett earlier on after an under-21 match in Holy Cross, and he was asked the question about the link between the divisional structure and the clubs, and he extolled the virtues of how much he loved playing the mid-championship. And I think a lot of players would echo that view. But when it comes to having an umbilical between the club, the county championship and the divisions, that's going to be problematical with the new structures. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, it was everybody anecdotally wants to keep their division and championship, but when you actually go sit down and put it down on paper and make it work within the structures that are going to be there for intercounty next season for Ireland and football, you know, it doesn't seem to be a solution that can fit. You know, and obviously there's different numbers in each division too, which doesn't make things any easier.
Well, there's two senior hurling clubs in West Tipperary.
Yeah, with 13 in the north, so you know it's not even playing field across each division, so you know it's hard to factor that in when you're trying to get championships played, and you know some teams play less rounds to win it than others have to do to win it, so it's, you know, it should be comparable for everybody starting the season out, that if you get to a final you play the same amount of rounds as a team in it against you, you know.
I would imagine if my job was, say, a divisional secretary, I'd be fighting tooth and nail to keep the winner of my division still in the county championship. Turkeys don't vote for Christmas, so you can kind of see where the executives from the division are coming from.
Yeah,
I suppose your point would be, listen to the players.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose if you're good enough, you're going to win through your county group anyway with the structure that's been proposed there. If you finish in the top three, you've still got a chance of getting out of the group. So you know, that's more than a fair chance. I think any grade of the championship, the whole main of the championship is to have it as cutthroat as possible, you know, and if there's lots of second or third chances, it's, you know, it takes a bit of that competitiveness out of it. And so the players had, we put a survey together from the Club Players Association just to see what the actual views of the players were on the ground towards a structure that would be on an all-county basis with no link to the division. Obviously, the division to be played still be played, but it just doesn't link into the county championship. And the results came back with 64% of players agreeing with the proposed structure, with 27 against it, and I think 7 or 8% were undecided. So it's a different perspective that's coming from the delegates around the county.
Well, let's just put that in perspective. How many GPA CPA players are there in Tipperary, do you know?
There's registered members, there's 1,800 registered, so that's what's registered across. It's the second highest in the country, actually, as a sign-up rate goes.
And your response rate was?
We got 500 players responding to the survey.
Okay, so a little under a third of the membership responded, yeah. Which is par for the course, I think.
We do national surveys on 25,000 and we get a response of 3,000 or 4,000, so it's, you know,
it's above
like
average.
It's like voting. Not everybody turned up for that either, for governments or whatever.
Were you surprised that it's worth putting this in perspective, 64% would be more than enough to carry a motion at GAA Congress. So that is a fairly overwhelming response.
Yeah, I suppose the main reason I did it because I had a sneaky feeling that would be the case, that there's a huge disconnect between the delegates and the actual players on the ground and what they say they're representing and what's actually true. So I suppose it was interesting to get the survey done from that point of view. I just wanted to see what the players actually thought and were those views of the delegates reflective of their thoughts. And as you can see, probably not, you know.
But if I put it to you another way, if I was a player for Carrick Swan, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but they took great pride out of winning their 23rd South title this year, and it gave them the shot in the arm of being able to stay in Rinnehane. So from a Swan point of view, I can't imagine that they want to see a disconnect between the championship structures and the South structures.
Yeah, the championships can still be kept. I don't see why they need to be. You know, there's every other county in the country would have their divisional championships run on a separate basis, and they're still hardly fought to be won. So I don't see why it needs to be. You know, there has to be a definite link there. You know, it can still be a competitive competition in its own right without having the link through the county championship. As I said, it's all fine when you go and play these games and try to make them fit. You know, you're going to, junior clubs in particular, really affected by having to play midweek and weekend, and this won't be in the summer either. It'll be in the worst nights of the season, and as it's already been highlighted in the programme, a lot of fields are closed at this time of the year because of all the teams into them. So where are all these games going to be played, especially with the lack of floodlights around the county as well?
Do you still think like we're going to if I to have a conversation with you next November, I think everything will be done and dusted because of the fact that the All-Ireland Hurling Final has been brought forward because we're going to get a Policona matches played in April, aren't we?
Yeah, there's a lot of intercounty hurling activity at the start of summer, and then it's more football loaded towards the end, I suppose. So there is going to be, I suppose, a month there in April for a bit of club activity, and then it's going to be, I suppose, suspended till August at the earliest.
Yeah, well, do you know what, Will? It's good talking to you because I think the survey is really important. 64% feel that there should be a disconnect between the divisional structure and the county championship, and that's not what's been heard at county board level. Congratulations on that, and we look forward to talking to you as this teases out a little bit more, William.
Cheers, thanks for
taking the call. Thanks indeed. That's William Coleman, the Tipperary coordinator of the Club Players Association. Our text number is 083-311-3311. We're also on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @TipFMSport if you prefer that. But let's go to the phone lines because Lena Ryan, who's the chairperson of the Tipperary Ladies Football Board, is on the line. How are you, Lena? Good talking to you again.
Not too bad at all. Good evening, Rowan. Good to be talking to you too.
Yeah, it was a great year for Tipperary ladies football. Anytime you go to Croke Park and win a title and lift a cup, it's a mighty year.
It was an absolutely fabulous year, and like to go the whole year unbeaten was tremendous as well. And like, and the blend of youth and age in that team was great. The skill they displayed, the unity they displayed, was just wonderful. A very, very proud day to be a Tipperary person in Croke Park, and it was great to see the women doing it, and great to see football as well there, which was.
very proud of it.
Absolutely. And I think there were some matches during the year where, you know, they were really put to the pin of their collar, and character is something you don't necessarily gain on the training pitch. It's something you have, you don't. And that team seems to have it in bucket loads.
They do have it in bucket loads, and Wexford in particular put them to the... But then again, they made it hard. We were down at the Munster final. They made it down at the Munster final, and Clare gave them all to do, and they came back. And you'd think they were dead and buried at half time, and they came back. And it was the work rate, the unity. It wasn't about stars. It was about, you know. And they have all the skills that are necessary to win and go all the way. And yes, and they're a youthful side. There's not a lot of them that are that we'd be losing, hopefully. But they have it all, and they have nothing. They owe nothing to Tipperary and owe nothing to ladies football. They've given an awful lot to it.
Well, with that in mind, and that is our opening, how are we going to build on this?
Well, we're building nicely, and you'd have to say that the county board has done fantastic work over the last 5 years in building the structures. We have a huge amount of coaches at all levels, from 6 to 60 going on, and we have girls playing from 6 to 60 with Gaelic for mothers and non-competitive and competitive. We have, like, a statistic at our recent AGM was 11 county titles and 11 All-Ireland titles in the last, at different age groups in the last 5 years. There's not many counties. I think that the statistics was given, the only one that has beaten that is Cork. And to be up there with Cork at any time is great for Tipperary. Like, and without Tipperary, there would be no ladies football. And Tipperary's ladies football will go from strength to strength.
In order to do that, you need a strong county board at ladies football level. I know you're in as chairperson. And how soon do you expect to see a committee formed around you?
Well, I expect to see a committee formed around me by the 6th of December, because it was a very amount of exhaustive work by the previous county board. This year, the AGM was held a month early, and clubs got caught a bit on the hop with the late championship because of the success at inter-county level. Like, we still have, we have a very successful minor championship that's coming to a conclusion now, and I think clubs hadn't got off the field and got into the administration and looking at that. Fantastic feedback over the last week or so about officers, new people coming on board, people that were there coming back in, like myself. So I expect that we, by the beginning of December, which is normally when the county board is, the county AGM is held, we will have a fully functioning, very competent and working county board. I have no doubt about that, because ladies football is going from strength to strength here. And like, there was even coaching courses going on last weekend in Grange and other places as well. So, you know, the numbers are there, the people are there on the ground, it's just getting officerships in now at board level, and we will do that, I have no doubt.
And it's, you know, after a successful year, is it the case that none of last year's county board wanted to stay on and perhaps renew their terms?
No, I think there's a little bit of people have a little bit of lack of knowledge here, Ronan. What happened was that the county chairperson does 3 years, like the men, and it was to Biddy's turn to stand down. Biddy had been there for 5 years, has given a lifetime of service and done a great job. And a lot of the officers had intimated last year that they had done their term and were actually, a lot of them should have probably stepped down last year, you know, by the rules, and they didn't. They stayed on. So I think you can only give a certain amount of time to this. We have a fantastic secretary in Siobhan Condon. She's also secretary of Munster Council. She's did a fantastic job, and she had intimated last year that she wanted to step down. And my understanding is that a lot of the officers did, but I think clubs assumed that they weren't going to happen. And, you know, there comes a time when you have to say enough is enough. We had a fantastic PRO in Michelle Donnelly, and she put a fantastic structure in place. Development officer, you know, there was great people. There is a time limit on all these. So
I appreciate that, Lena, but there's a corporate...
There's
a corporate memory that you don't want in any board or in any organisation. You don't want everyone to retire at the same time, because you lose a huge amount of what they call corporate memory. And if everyone is... And I know, Lena, you've been around long enough to know how these things work, but you don't want to have a complete fresh board at the start of any year, because, you know, the experience of previous years will stand to any new board.
Well, thankfully, we're not losing corporate memory in that these people are still there in the background. They're not at the forefront. They are still there, and they're learning. And they have been to me in the last 2 weeks, giving me their experience and their benefit. And they are there in a capacity. They're still ex officio members of the county board. They're just not at the forefront. So we're not losing corporate memory in that sense, Ronan. We're losing their forefront experience, but they will be there to help the transition and to help the new people that come in on board. Like I've been in constant contact with Biddy Ryan, the former chairperson. As I said, I've been in constant contact with Siobhan Condon, the outgoing secretary as well. So there is a continuity there. As I said, they're just not at the forefront of it. They will be giving their experience in the background.
Well, thanks indeed for that, Lena. I wish you well, and you know, I look forward to talking to you early in 2018 as we look forward to plotting a course to Crow Park in September 2018.
Thank you very much, Ronan.
Thanks
all, Lena.
Take care, okay. And thanks indeed for that. That is Lena Ryan, chairperson of the Tipperary Ladies Football Board, and we look forward to continued success for our ladies after a monumental year in 2017. One texter, slightly tongue-in-cheek, I would imagine, says, I hope when Tip arrive at Fenway Park, they're not told the pitch is closed for the winter and the match has been changed to Golden Bridge. Well, I think the air miles that would be incurred will be significant enough to make sure that Fenway Park is open. They don't get as much rain anyway in Boston as we do over here. Our text number is 083-311-3311. We have a break to take. Rugby and soccer will take us home.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
With Tipperary Kitchens, Killeen and Thurles. Number one for kitchen design and fitting in the Premier County. TipperaryKitchens.com.
You're very welcome back to Extra Time. Our text number is 083-311-3311. And we're also on Twitter at TipFM Sport is our Twitter handle. Peter Silk from Cashelor FC is on the line. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Ronan. How are you?
I'm really well. There's not as many Tipperary derbies in junior rugby as there used to be because yourselves and Nina shagged off to senior on us. But but having said that, there was a Tipperary derby in Cashel on Friday night. And these are great games between yourselves and Nina.
They are, actually. we had two cracking games last year. Now, in the first game last year, Nina gave us a good trimming up there because we had a number of injuries and they really had they were on a roll at the time. Then we turned the tables on them in Cashel towards the end of the season in a very important win for us, which kept us in Division 2A. And this match was much anticipated because Nina have been flying it in this division, particularly at the start of the league. Now, they were beaten by Highfield, and we didn't really know what to expect, but we had been beaten fairly well in Galway the previous week. So the two teams, you know, it was a vital game for both. Nina were on 20 points and we were on 15, so we didn't want the gap to really widen anymore.
No.
And conditions were very, very wet. It was the rain was very heavy. There was a breeze, and you know, a strong enough breeze, and the pitch was quite heavy. But it did, in fairness, stand up to the test.
Well, in fairness to Cashel, they've already started this year better than last year, where I think it's fair to say that certainly from September to Christmas last year was a struggle for you.
It was a struggle because we had a lot of injuries and things didn't go right for us. After four rounds last year, we were the only team in all of the divisions that had no point. Now, after four matches this year, we had I think it was 15 points.
Is it fair to say that the nucleus of the team that helped you get to senior are coming to a point, and I would want you to choose my words carefully, where perhaps they were they were going to perhaps veering towards the B team rather than the A team?
Well, you see, the team that got us there was a fantastic team. They won all the junior competitions, and I suppose the crowning day was the day we won the Junior Cup in 2011. You know, and that was a cracking team. And out of that team, we had left Ed Leamy and Michael Cross and Brian Silk, my own son.
Yeah.
So that was basically, they were the only lads that were left. A lot of good young lads have come in, and we did strengthen our squad a little bit this year. With a few new players coming in, a few departed. Pat O'Connor, who was with us for many, many years, went off coaching. And, you know, we did replace a lot of those players. Then we got in Dennis Leamy as coach. And, you know, Dennis is a very experienced coach, and he's, you know, he created a buzz in his own way by, you know, he has a good record. So we did get a more positive start. And, you know, we were very, very unlucky to be beaten by Malone. We were winning 6 minutes into injury time. A penalty decision that we just discovered subsequently was a wrong decision cost us that match. And if we hadn't lost that match, we'd now be up in the top two or three. So, you know, it all turns on a sixpence in a 10-team league. You know, there isn't much margin for error. We've had a very good start. We've 19 points at this stage. And, you know, that's important that we keep up towards the top half of the table.
Can I ask you a question? Because I was struck by something. I was talking to Willie Barrett, who's involved with Ballybacon Grange, and I was asking, he basically made the point that he thinks that his club is at the level they should be at. You know, he's not striving for senior status for his hurling club. And I suppose if I put the same question to you, where do you see Cashel? Because, you know, Division 1A of the AIL is a level that perhaps outweighs where Cashel can ever get to. But so where would you like to see Cashel perform?
I suppose every club will strive to be as high up the league as you possibly can. Now, if you go from our division, which is really the third division, there's five divisions of 10, we're in the third one, and, you know, we have survived there for the last 4 or 5 years, and, you know, we would love to have a crack at 1B if we have the players to do it. Now, you might go up there for a season and get relegated, I don't know. But, you know, you strive. You can't say, well, look, we'll aim to be in the middle of the table. The first priority at the start of every season is that you survive in the division you're in.
Try to win every game.
You try to win every game. You can't go out and say, well, look, we're high enough now, we'll ease off a bit. And, you know, we got to the playoffs 2 years ago and, you know, we were beaten by Blackrock and then they were subsequently beaten by UCC and UCC went up. But, you know, we are looking at a situation now. If we get into the playoffs, we could be playing either Dolphin or UL Bowes, unless they get a bit of a run, because they're at the bottom of Division 1B. Now, they're big clubs that have been senior all their lives, really, if you know what I mean.
That's true.
And that's what you're competing with. So you try to, first of all, survive, and then secondly, be as high up the table. If you get to the playoffs, fantastic. And if you happen to get promotion to 1B, well, then you deal with that and you say, right, we're in 1B now. How can we strengthen our squad? You know, what do we require?
And how easy is that in Cashel? With all due respects, Nina have a geographical advantage of proximity to Limerick, which you don't necessarily have.
Well, I suppose what Nina have is they have all of North Tipperary as their recruiting area, because the only club in North Tipperary other than Nina is Thurles.
Yes.
And whereas in South Tipperary you have Clanwilliam, Kilfee, Kilcashel, Feathers, Clanmel, Carrick and Shore. So you have a huge number of teams in South Tipperary in very close proximity to each other. So we don't tend to get too many players from the local junior clubs, you know. So we have to grow our own as much as possible, and we have a lot of good young lads who have come through. And then we have a good relationship with Rockwell, where, you know, a lot of our lads go there, and we recruit a number of players from Rockwell as well. So, you know, that's basically our recruiting ground.
But are you bucking the trend, Peter, do you think?
Well, I think we're punching way above our weight.
That's, that's a better metaphor to use than mine. Well done.
You know, we're kind of, we're the 25th, we're in 25th position of all the clubs in the country at the moment. Now, really, we shouldn't be, but we are. And it's a great credit to, number one, the players, number two, the coaching staff, but also to the committee. We have a fantastic, hardworking committee, and, you know, we work night and day to raise the money, to run events. We have a bingo every Wednesday night. We have a lotto. We have people out selling tickets. So it's a huge team effort. And, you know, our committee is not that young either. We have a lot of people on the wrong side of 60, if you know what I mean, including myself. But we work very, very hard at it. Now, you know, we will keep going as long as we possibly can. But if you start to slide at all, as you've seen with teams that have drifted out of the All-Ireland League, the likes of Water Park.
Oh, look at Richmond, sure.
Richmond are holding their own in Junior 1.
I know, but they don't see themselves as a junior club, Peter.
Or they don't, I know that.
But
if you see Clannachilty, who are up at a higher level than we were, Clannachilty are now down in they were in Division 2, I think, last year. Water Park drifted down to Division 2, and these are in the junior leagues.
Yes.
So if you slide at all, you can really slide.
Well, Peter, both of us are old enough to remember when Cashel were in the lower echelons of junior rugby. So the only word I can describe your rise is meteoric.
Well, I think it has been really. Like 15 years ago, we were at the bottom of Division 3 of the Munster Junior League. And we had a very good underage structure. We had an awful lot of good players. And as they were growing up and developing, they were drifting off to Shannon and Gary Owen. And, you know, the senior clubs, the likes of John Ed O'Connor and Brendan O'Connor, My own fella played with Gall Regions for a year. You know, you had all of that sort of drift away from the club. And when those lads came back and said, you know what, we'll give it a crack at our own club. We won all the junior competitions and we got a chance in the AIL. And that kind of set it up. Now, in addition to encouraging other players to come in and play with it, it also encouraged the people involved in the club to drive on. We built our clubhouse, put up lights. And there was a great buzz about it, because when you're going well, you know, it's like a rising
tide. Yeah,
it'll lift all boats. And that's the way it has been. Now, still have to work very, very hard at it.
I know. Unfortunately, time's against me. I'd love to know how you finance the whole thing, but that's perhaps a discussion for another day. And just continued success to you is all I can say. It's a great club. I love going out to Cashel. I haven't been there as much as I would like to have been in recent years. Great club, great success story. And I think you have to be a model by which a lot of clubs need to model themselves on. So
thank you very much indeed, Ronan.
Continued success to you, Peter, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks indeed. That's Peter Silk from Cashel Rugby Club. That is an extraordinary success story in the last few years. The bottom of the junior league in Munster to be the 25th in best senior club in Ireland. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary story. Continued success to everybody involved. Jamie O'Flaherty is with me in studio. Hi, Jamie.
I'm good, Ronan.
A lot to talk about today because, as you know, results keep coming thick and fast and the fixtures keep coming thick and fast in relation to the Munster and the FAI. I suppose the big story, and it's not really a Tipperary story, but every Tipperary club has an interest in it. Sheriff are out of the FAI Junior Cup.
Yeah, it's a huge one. I suppose Usher Celtic, St. Michael's know all about them. They played them last year and were beaten by Usher. So they've been building for some time now. It's not a huge shock, but nevertheless, I thought Sheriff would get through it. And I think, you know, there's probably 10 clubs feeling now that they can go on and win it with Sheriff gone.
Well, it begs the question then, how does that narrow the odds on St. Michael's winning the FAI Junior Cup? We have a mile to go in that competition before we can even talk about like knock at last 16 or last quarterfinals or anything, you know?
Well, I think so, because, you know, Michael's were beaten by Sheriff a few times in recent years, so they'll certainly be glad they're gone out of it. It's another top team out, of course. And I think Michael's will be thereabouts. You know, it's I suppose whenever you see it...
Should our listeners lump on?
I don't know about that, but certainly I think from a local point of view, if you're going to back a local side, they'd be the team certainly
okay.
to back.
Okay, sorry for putting you under pressure there, Jamie. Okay, so let's talk about results over the course of the weekend, because in the FAI Junior Cup, there was a good win for Celtic against Thurlestown. That was a sticky one, and Celtic would be delighted to keep a clean sheet.
Absolutely, and you mentioned betting there. If I was a betting man, I'd have backed Thurlestown to win this one. I mean, you look at Celtic's previous four matches, they'd conceded 3 to Peak Villa, 3 to Kilsheelan, and 3 to the Old Bridge, 3 to Glengool. And I was absolutely convinced Thurlestown would score in the bypass. But credit to Kenny O'Shea and the management team there. They changed the system at Clonmel Celtic. They went with 3 centre halves, looked a lot more solid. And it always helps when you score after only a couple of minutes too. Evan Maguire set up Kevin Waters at the back post for a great goal. And it settled Celtic, and I think they bought into the tactics of the management team then. And you know, they were, if anyone was going to score again, it was possibly going to be them. Seán O'Hara had a couple of chances, Evan Maguire. Thurles did have a spell, particularly at the beginning of the second half, where they dominated for a period. But just didn't get the breakthrough, and it's a huge, huge win for Clonmel Celtic.
It is a big win. Old Bridge had a home tie against Galway United. This one went to extra time. It went to penalties, and the Bridge would be disappointed to go out on penalties at home.
They will be, because they were 3-2 up and had the advantage, and then missed two in a row, two very good saves from the Galway goalkeeper. But as you said, at home, you've expected the Bridge to get through their division up ahead of Galway, but... you know, both teams of similar quality, so I suppose it's not the biggest shock ever.
No, let's talk about Clonmel Town as well, putting 5 past money goal. You know, while the league has gone from them, they're still in the Munster Junior, they're still in the FAI.
They are, and this is a big win, and you know, they've racked up another 5 goals. Keith Cashman on the score sheet again, 2 for Keith Brown. Jamie O'Hearn continues his good run of goal-scoring form, and a rare one for Stephen Kelly. But I think Stephen Kelly's been excellent for Clonmel Town since he's come back to the club this season. He was brilliant in the game against Peak Villa in the complex, and he's in a real consistent run of form, and great credit to him. And it's a big win for Town, and gets them out of the area. They'll be delighted.
Yeah, there was the Munster Junior Cup will take centre stage next week, but there was a tie between Wilderness and Donohoe and District. This one went to extra time as well, 5-4 in penalties. Donohoe don't miss too many.
No, they don't. And Willerders have having a fine season. This will be a disappointment for them. But I think they really want to be promoted. Division 2 is really tough. You know, they've Peakvilla B, Wilderness Rovers, Kilcheen, Clonmel Town B, Shoreside. You know, there's five good sides there. And I think the Wilderness, that's their focus. They'll want to be promoted this season.
We've 30 seconds left to talk about the highlights from Copenhagen. We don't need 30 seconds, do we?
No, we don't. I suppose it played out exactly as many predicted, didn't it? It was, you know, Ireland were defensive, made it difficult for Denmark and got the result. The travel to Denmark for a scoreless draw that leaves qualification for the World Cup very much in our hands now. I suppose it's a similar scenario now to the Wales game in Cardiff, where nothing will do but a win. And albeit this time around we may have the luxury of extra time or penalties to get the victory. But it's all to play for now.
One last question. Would you start Shane Long maybe a two-man up front?
I wouldn't, but I'd play him the right side of a top three. Okay. He's played it for Southampton and he's done very well there.
Okay, well, thanks for that and thanks for your brevity. Thanks for everything, Jamie. Ian O'Connor produced. That's all we've time for. See you next week. Take care, good night and good luck.